This is Central Time. We're taking a look now at the latest Marquette Law School poll, which covers the upcoming August primary elections, the fall midterms, and a lot more. Among the findings, a lot of voters haven't made up their minds in the statewide primaries. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the upcoming primaries in August? Are you thinking about them yet, or are you going to wait and see? You've got a few months, after all. Do you usually vote in primaries? What issues are most important to you? What do you want to hear from candidates for, especially Wisconsin governor and U.S. Senate? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Charles Franklin is professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director there of the Marquette University Law School Poll. He's co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. Charles, welcome back to Central Time.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, we've got a clear winner, Charles, I think, in both the races, those primaries for governor and Senate in the respective parties. Don't know. Seems like the clear front runner on both sides, right?
Yeah, quick, change your name and get on the ballot. You could clean up. And that's not unusual. About half in both the Democratic and the Republican primaries say they don't know who they'll vote for yet. We saw this in 2018 when we had a big Democratic field and actually a hard-fought Republican Senate primary in 2018, that even as late as June, we were seeing large percentages who had not yet focused on the primary. After all, it's not until August 9th. And for political junkies, it may seem like it's already been here for a while, but for a lot of folks, it hasn't been that long that they've been paying attention, if at all, yet.
I'm going to cut in. Charles Franklin is with us, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. I think we're going to reconnect a little signal noise there that we will attempt to correct. In the meantime, you can join in with your thoughts on elections here in Wisconsin. Are you thinking about, are you looking at candidates in the races for governor and Senate? What is important to you in those races? Or are you going to vote for the person with an R or a D in their name? No matter who it is, you can call in at 800-642-1234. And a reminder, it is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You can support conversations like these at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've got Charles back. Charles, when do we usually see people start to gravitate toward particular candidates in primary situations like this?
Yeah, it's not unusual to see don't know remain high like this for as late as June or even into July. So I don't think we should think that people are not engaged to an unusual degree, but we should appreciate that a lot of people tune in June or July or even the first week of August.
Well, kind of healthy in some ways. I don't think that's that bad. Now, you also looked at the incumbents in both these races. So we've got U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, up for re-election, running for what would be his third term, and Governor Tony Evers, Democrat, running for re-election, what would be his second term. You asked people in a couple different ways what they thought about those incumbents in both those races. What did you find out?
Yeah, we ask favorability for Johnson. 36% are favorable, 46% unfavorable, and 14% haven't heard enough about him for an opinion. So a net minus 10 on that. For Tony Evers on the favorability question, it's 47 favorable, 42 unfavorable. So Evers is a plus 5. Compared to Johnson's minus 10 on that question. We also find that more people say Tony Evers cares about people like you, 54 to 40, whereas with Johnson, it's 39 cares, 50% say they would not describe him as someone who cares about them. So a big gap between these two.
Now, that sounds bad for Senator Johnson, but he has come from situations where he's been behind in polls, had bad poll numbers like in the 2016 election, and then come back and won just fine.
That's exactly right. And in 2015, we saw Johnson underwater again, more unfavorable than favorable. But through the spring of 2016, he built that back to a positive territory And then in the summer and fall, we saw him close the gap with Russ Feingold and go on to win that election in November. So we actually have seen Johnson come back from bad numbers before. The question this year will be, can he do that again?
We have just two of the figures you asked about above water, as you'd put it, looking good in the polls. Governor Evers, you know, not fantastic, but higher positive than negatives. Incumbent Senator Tammy Baldwin, not up for re-election this year, came out positive. I believe everybody else you asked about is down. President Biden, former President Trump, Senator Johnson, we mentioned, Robin Voss, the legislature. We feel kind of negative about our politicians for the most part.
Yeah, we've been very grumpy all year, and one way to see that is that only 36% of the states say we're headed in the right direction, and that's been getting worse over the last 12 to 14 months. The other thing is, in October, we asked about six different politicians, three Democrats and three Republicans, and at that point, every one of them was underwater. Evers and Baldwin have moved a little bit above water now. But it's not looking good for incumbent politicians of either party.
Let's bring on a caller. Nate is with us in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me. I figure Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, or WMC for short, probably noticed that Governor Evers' positive numbers are higher as well, and that's why they're running TV ads against him, or complaining about unemployment, which is kind of ironic for that organization specific, because it was actually calling on Governor Evers to cut unemployment last year. But that's one of the ironies of politics, I guess.
Nate, thanks for the call. And Charles, this is kind of a starting point in an election. We're going to see the candidates themselves, of course, and interest groups like the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerces of the world trying to move the needle here.
No, it's exactly right. And the Evers campaign is out with their first campaign ad of the year that just came out today. One of the questions here is that despite the negativity about the direction of the state, Evers' numbers are positive, whether it's job approval, handling coronavirus, handling education, favorability, or cares about you, though they're not enormously positive. So what happens in the rock'em sock'em world of campaign advertisements and attacks between now and November? We have a very long ways to go to see how that plays out.
Thanks for the call, Nate. We're talking to Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director there of the Marquette University Law School poll, looking at the latest findings in that survey. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Coming up, attitudes toward the election of November 2020, still a hot issue for some people. Do you think that candidates, do you want to hear your candidates still talking about the outcome and what went into that election? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Plus, what do we think about our schools in Wisconsin? We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation with Charles Franklin from Marquette University, director there of the Marquette Law School poll, looking at the latest findings on what voters in Wisconsin are thinking. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Charles, we've been looking ahead at 2022 elections. You also looked back. A lot of talk still about efforts to overturn the outcome of those elections or change laws in response. You asked about this in a few different ways. What were some of the things that stood out to you?
Well, one is that confidence in the 2020 election, whether you think it was accurately cast and counted, has not changed much over the last few months. About two-thirds of the public believe that they are confident in that election outcome. About one-third are not confident. But that's a mirror image in the Republican Party, where it's about two-thirds not confident and only one-third confident. So there's and with Democrats, it's nearly universal confidence in it, and a solid majority of independents are confident in the election outcome. So there's a real gap here by party, and confidence has something to do with enthusiasm to vote. Among Republicans, those who are not at all confident are much more enthusiastic about voting compared to the one-third of Republicans who are confident in the election. So that has some implications for who might make up the primary electorate on the one hand, but it also may have some implications for turnout in November if those Republicans who are not very enthusiastic, those most confident in the outcome, are less attracted to, election doubters in the November election.
And one of the big stories is still going on, the election review created by Assembly Republicans, Michael Gableman, former state Supreme Court justice, leading it. This is one that I think we in the news media, the political watchers watching very closely, the public not super engaged in, if your poll results are any indication.
Now, I would say surprisingly not engaged. In this poll, 57% say they haven't heard enough about the investigation to have an opinion about it. That's a little lower than the 65% in October that didn't have an opinion. But still, it's 2-1 disapprove to approve, 27% disapprove, 13 approve. But what's surprising to me is that Republicans, who are by far more dubious about the election, are the least likely to have heard about the major investigation of the election. 64% of Republicans say they haven't heard enough about the investigation to have an opinion, even as 2/3 of Republicans are doubtful of the 2020 election. So it's sort of surprising when you think about how big a role election doubt has played in Republican politics lately, that 2 out of 3 Republicans aren't paying attention to the ongoing investigation set up by Republicans in the state assembly.
There's been a lot of talk about education as an issue in this year's election. Republicans saying they're going to ride a groundswell of public criticism of the way schools handled the COVID issues of race, things like that. This is something else you tackled in this survey and you have before. What did we find out about public attitudes towards schools?
Yeah, well, the simple answer is it's complicated. about half of the public say they are very concerned about the issue of education. But at the same time, nearly 60% say they're satisfied with public schools in their community. On the other hand, there's also support for moving to a voucher system that would give state tax dollars to students to attend private and religious schools. Currently, that exists, but it's limited in the number of people that can use it. This is a proposal to expand it. On this, 58% favor vouchers for all, just 33% oppose it. And then on the hot button issue of who controls curriculum, 35% say 31% say parents should control it, but 35% say teachers and 18% school boards. Just 4% say the state legislature should set the curriculum.
Charles, we'll leave it there. Thanks for sharing your results with us, as always.
Thank you very much.
Charles Franklin is a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. He's also co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. Coming up, the Biden administration is looking at some level of student loan debt forgiveness, but not for everyone with those loans. We'll look at some of the different ideas on the table and what they could mean.